We will sing now Psalter 428, stanzas 2 and 10. 428, stanzas 2 and 10. We will read the Holy Word of God also from Acts 10, the verses 34 through 48. Acts 10, from verse 34 through the end of the chapter. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So far. Let us now unite in prayer. Most holy and most merciful God, we humble ourselves before Thee and may come to Thee at this special moment with the expressions of our gratitude, for Thou hast blessed us all richly in Thy goodness. In this solemn hour, Thou hast united us as a congregation and as a pastor. And we may acknowledge Thee as the God who has arranged all things and led all things in this way. That is an undeserved wonder, O Lord. For neither the congregation nor the minister is worthy such a great blessing. We are all sinners and do not deserve even the least of all Thy blessings. Wilt Thou bring us in that place of real humility before Thee? And we beseech Thee, O Lord, wilt Thou bless our ministry in the midst of the congregation of Dundas? Wilt Thou bless the proclamation of Thy holy word? Thou hast promised in Thy word that when Thy servants take pleasure in the stones of Zion and favor the dust thereof, then Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. O Lord, let that be a time for many and many of us. Let unconverted people see their need, their blindness, their guilt. Let people that is needy and poor see the light of salvation. Let many, drawn by Spirit and Word, to the light of Thee. And wilt Thou further instruct also Thy people and teach sinners in the way of salvation and in the things of salvation, to the end that also the time Thou wilt give to us, that Thy name mayest be praised and magnified. Remember us in this special service and in these circumstances, O Lord. Thou knowest all our needs. There was the difficult parting from our former congregation in the Netherlands, the congregation of Urk. Remember her, O Lord, in Thy favor. May it please Thee to fulfill the empty place and send them their own pastor and minister again. There was also a difficult parting from our relatives, especially from our parents. Lord, remember all them, and especially our father and mother. Thou hast promised in thy word, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. O Lord, let their trust and expectation be in that promise. Strengthen us in this special moment. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. Let there be no barrier, also not a barrier of the language. Wilt thou open in this moment thy word before us, and wilt thou open our hearts so that thy word may enter into it, to the end that thy name may be praised and our hearts may be blessed and comforted. We pray it for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen. The text for the sermon is Acts 10, the verses 42 and 43. Acts 10, verses 42 and 43. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And after the sermon, we want to sing from Psalter 83 all stanzas. Psalter 83 after the sermon. Beloved congregation, in our text, Peter is preaching to Cornelius and his family and relatives by request. For this Gentile Roman army officer, Cornelius had sent for Peter into his house to hear from him words of salvation. And Peter first objected against doing so. But the Lord has removed all objections, and the Lord himself has convinced him in his heart that this was God's will. He should go. And Peter went. He came to Cornelius without contradicting it, and he asked Cornelius, for what intent ye have sent for me? And it is just said in the former sermon, I will ask this evening the same question to you. For what intent ye have sent for me? Oh no, I don't compare myself with Peter, but yet I feel there is a personal message in these words to you and me. For you know, the Lord has used this passage to give me light and instruction. I felt I had to accept the call extended by you as a congregation to me. The Lord commanded me to come to you. Nothing doubting. For this was according to his holy will. And he has also removed to last month, many objections. And so I came to you, and I will ask you, for what intent you have sent for me? Is it just to have your own minister, or do you want someone to talk about your own personal problems? Whatever it may be, this is good in itself. But a true and real purpose has to be to hear the whole counsel of God, to hear words of salvation. And these words is Peter speaking in this very fine and also simple sermon. And especially the closing words of his sermon, our text in this evening hour, are the heart of his message. God has commanded him, no, not to preach a political gospel or points of difficult theology or playthings of controversy, but God has commanded him to preach Jesus Christ. Just like Paul, he determined not to know anything else among the people save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this beloved and precious Son of God is the subject of real scriptural preaching. And we ask, how does Peter speak about the Lord Jesus? It's very remarkable that he is speaking about him in these two verses as a judge and as a savior. And I think this is the basic pattern of all apostolic and also of all biblical preaching about Christ Jesus. Remember only that Paul, in a sermon on the Mars Hill, Acts 17, is proclaiming Jesus as a judge and as a savior. Remember, for example, also his words to Felix in Acts 24, when he is speaking about righteousness and the judgment to come. And therefore, I think the minister today has to preach also Christ Jesus as a judge and as a savior. Peter has said it in the words of our text. He is ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He has judicial authority over all mankind. And he will try, as a judge, all of us at the last, as he is even now sitting in judgment upon all our acts and thoughts and intents. We shall all have to stand one time before him, that every one may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He will sum up the evidence and decide the doom of all. We shall each appear before his great white throne, and he shall divide us as a shepherd is dividing the sheep from the goats. If any are condemned, his lips shall say the terrible words, depart ye cursed. If any are glorified, from his lips shall proceed the sentence, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the question is to you and me this evening, what will he say to you, to me, in that day? What do you answer? What do you say as an answer upon this question? Or perhaps you never worried about this question. Perhaps you are hesitating. Oh, don't forget. He who is ordained as a judge is coming. We are living, as Scripture is telling us, in the last days. For God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Why? Why? The true preacher has to preach about Christ as a judge and to say these terrible words. It is because God has commanded it to him. No, he has to say these words not to make afraid people and to frighten them by words of the great day of judgment and eternal punishment. Oh no, the reason is this. The Lord wants to warn us all, to warn young people, to warn the whole congregation. For the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked and in the punishment of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and life. God has not desired your woeful day. He seeks to convince by the preaching of the word, and he seeks to reprove sinners. And therefore, Paul testifies in one of his letters, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And that will be one of the things that are very important in the preaching. That prayer, "In the name of Jesus Christ, Judge and Savior, be ye reconciled to God." Or perhaps you are asking, "How must I be reconciled to God?" Perhaps that is your personal question. Perhaps that is your need that lies on the bottom of your heart. I hope so. You are feeling poor and needy. You are seeing yourself as a sinner, guilty. And you are confessing God would be righteous when he would not answer my prayer. But still, that cry of the publican rises from your lips, from your heart, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know it, O Lord. Thou art the most holy. Thou art the judge. I have deserved judgment, punishment. But I'm pleading for grace." Oh, know it, that the Lord is saying in this text, in this sermon spoken by Peter, he is a judge and a savior. And he knows your needs, your troubles, your afflictions. He knows your deepest need. He knows it, yes, as a judge, but also as a savior. He sees your banned knees. He knows all things you are lacking, more than you can tell. It is known before him, and he will save the needy. He will never forget them. He will preach by his ministers the gospel of his grace, the gospel that there is remission of sins. Peter is saying, the prophets gave witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And what is that? That well-known word, remission of sins. Hear it and be astonished that it is possible. It is the causing of sin to cease to be, granted that you have sinned, lamented that you have sinned, granted also that your sin deserves the utmost punishment. Yet God, in wondrous mercy, is prepared to forget your sin, to blot it out, to cast it behind his back, to cast it into the depth of the sea. He will put it quite away, so that he will regard you as if you had never offended at all. Guilty man, guilty woman, guilty boy or girl, are you hearing this message? That there is remission of sins. Oh no, you are not hearing this message in its deepest sense. You are feeling not your guilt. You are living your own life or living in self-righteousness. No. There is no need of this remission of sins. But do you hear it? Needy people, what confessing guilt before God. There is remission of sins. This remission God will give by his grace. And that grace is deserved by his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given his own blood. He has given his life into death. And he will give his grace to sinners' hearts. And he will pardon them. He will give remission of sins to the most guilty and most needy of us all. He is preached as a savior in these few words of the Apostle Peter. And I hope God will give me grace, strength to preach him as a savior to you. For when he is preached as judge and savior, the Lord will give his blessing together with the sermon. preach to you. This man God has given as the only Savior. And he says, this moment, this worship service, to you and to me, I will be the Savior of sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace. I will deliver you from the bondage of sin and the bondage of Satan. I will be your Savior, an all-sufficient Savior. He can give to needy sinners more than you need, than you ask. For in him is all salvation and all grace. Oh, the Lord give us to listen to this message and to preach this message and to pray and to wait that the Lord may give his blessing, his Spirit, together with the preaching of his word. He will do it. He has promised it. And although we are totally unworthy, he has said, I will send my Spirit upon those that are poor and needy. And that Spirit will lead in all truth. And that Spirit will open the eyes of the blind. That Spirit will open the eyes for him, the great Savior, the great Mediator, who is coming as a judge. When you are knowing him as a Savior, you need not to be frightened, thinking about his second advent. For this judge is your Savior, and he cometh, and he cometh to meet you, his bride, and to give you full peace and rest for ever and ever. Amen. Let us now again unite in prayer and thanksgiving. O Lord, again we are coming to Thee, and we will thank Thee for all Thy goodness Thou hast given to us. Thou hast made all things well. Thou hast given us to speak in a few words of Thy message to sinners, the message of law and gospel. Thou hast given our brother, Reverend and Brother, all things he needed, and we thank Thee for it. Be Thou our help and trust also in the days to come. Help us and guide us also the next part of this evening, and be with all of us when, after a few hours, many of us will travel to their own houses. Be Thou with them. Bless Thy word to our heart. Give us, O Lord, to seek Thy face and to expect all things from Thee. We will thank Thee for all Thy goodness bestowed to us. We have not deserved it, but all blessings are deserved by Him who is a judge and Savior. In His name, we will close our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We will sing Psalter 170, and in the meantime, a collection will be taken for the service of the Lord. While we are singing Psalter 170, depart in peace and receive God's blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
First of all, I speak in name of the consistory and congregation. And first of all, I will welcome Reverend Baars and family, Mrs. Baars and children. And I hope that you will have a blessed time in our midst and that you will feel at home in Dundas and that the preaching of Reverend Baars will be greatly blessed, that we may see many conversions in our midst. That is our greatest wish. And I have a word to you, congregation of Dundas. It is a great pleasure to see so many here in our midst. The congregation and friends, delegates, we welcome you all, and we have been 4 years vacant. We had disappointments 3 times when we called the ministers, and now we can say, here is our minister in our midst. We can see him with our own eyes. The Lord has sent him in our midst. And I request from you that you bear your minister on the wings of prayer, that he maybe utterance is given to him to preach the gospel to us according to the Lord's will and according to his spirit, and that we may see great blessings in our midst. I have heard people say from Dundas, now we will have a minister who is sent from the Lord, and now we will be blessed. I pray and hope so. But what if we will be blessed, and we see conversions left and right, and you are not converted? What good will it do to you when you do not take part in that blessing, you will be cast out forever. Pray, therefore, that we have that blessing in our hearts, in all of us, because the Lord is almighty to save us all. We are fallen away from God. We have no right. The only right we have and the only decision we have made was in paradise. And we deserved to be cast out forever and to be forsaken. But God sent his own Son. Now there is remission of sins possible for those who flee to him as in hell and lost, and as in lost and hell deserving sinner. Maybe we all come as such. We all know the history of Israel when they were encamped against the Philistines. They were in great distress. And then the ark of the Lord was brought in the midst of them. And they shouted for joy. And they trusted in the ark of God. And they were slain. It was a great slaughter. And the ark was taken. Because they put a trust in the ark and not in God. I mean to say by this, make not an idol of your pasture. If we make an idol of him, we will be slain and confounded. But see him as an instrument in the hand of God to preach the word of life to you, that it may be to your own salvation, to the salvations of our children, and remember your pastor in prayer and supplication, and that the Lord may be greatly bless us and work and dwell in our midst with his Holy Spirit. The Lord be with us and bless us. And I have a word of thanks to Reverend Dunbutter, who have assisted us very much in occupying the pulpit in Dundas and doing the catechism. We appreciate this very much, and that what you have taught in our midst, that it, I am convinced it was not without blessings, and that also that it will be a blessing, that it may be remembered and preached after in our hearts, and especially for the children of the catechism, that it may be remembered, that it may come back in later years to them to conversion. We thank you very much. Also, Mrs. Dunbutter, who was, because of that, alone, of course, when you were occupied in our congregation. And we know that you have done much for us, more than we know, even more than the consistory knows. We know this. We thank you. And that the Lord may bless you further in your ministry. And we hope to see you again in our midst. We hope so very much. Now I think it is the turn for the Synod to speech.
Brother Bars and all those who are present, I'm asked on behalf of the Synod of our churches to say a few words of welcome. We are, of course, all very glad and grateful for this solemn occasion that we may receive another minister in our midst, the new minister now for this congregation of Dundas. We also would like to congratulate the consistory and the congregation of Dundas. And we can say this, that there is much reason to bow our knees before the Lord, that the Lord has taken reasons out of himself to send to you a minister. And Brother Byers, we have clearly understood tonight that it was not your own choice to come here. The choice was already made in heaven. And we have clearly understood that you were sent. And that is a great privilege. Because we don't know what the future will be. We don't know what's going to happen a month from now or a year from now. If you are still in the land of the living. And it is very great that you may know by the grace of God that the Lord has sent you. You had to come. So in case of difficulty and adversity and hardship and discouragement, you may always fall back on that fact which can never be denied, that the Lord has spoken to your soul and that the Lord has led you in this way. That also implies that the Lord will lead you. Also, as far as the future is concerned, because it was not your own choice, but it was the way in which you were led by the Lord. There was once a minister, it was an old minister, and he didn't belong to our denomination, but he said, the Lord is never going to adjust himself to us, but we have to adjust ourselves to the Lord. The Lord is never going along with us, but we have to go along with the Lord. And that is great. If that grace may be granted to us, that we may know that we are in the way of the Lord, then we may know that the Lord has his reasons and that he will bless us. Then you, Brother Byers, may know that your coming has meant and still means a following of that Christ whom has been preached by you tonight. That Christ who once said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And that brings me to another thought, if I may, for one or two more minutes. Reverend Abedda, he referred to that great divine, Thomas Boston, well known among us. And he said that ministers have to study. They have to meditate, to reflect, to take time to prayingly reflect on the truth in order to be able to instruct the congregation. But that reminds me of that wonderful small booklet. I don't know if it is known by Brother Byers, but if I'm not mistaken, it has been translated also in the Dutch language. That wonderful book of Thomas Boston on the art of man fishing. The kunst van het vissen van mensen. And it is a wonderful book. And that brought me also in my thinking to Urk, back to Urk. Once I was myself years and years ago preaching in the pulpit of that sanctuary where you, Brother Byers, used to serve the congregation. And if I'm not mistaken, then on the pulpit, on the rooftop of the pulpit, or whatever you want to call it, there was a ship. A ship, of course, which symbolizes the daily labors of the population of Urk. And that brings me to this, that there is a connection between what happened in Urk, all those people there going out every Monday morning, in the early morning hours, to go out fishing. Now this is your task, brother, to cast out the net, to really keep in mind that, as it were, the Lord has said to you, cast out the net on the other side, and you will find in due time, to the glory of God. I am tempted to quote certain expressions of Thomas Boston, but let me not do it. Also because of the time, I guess. Anyway, on behalf of Synod, we hope and pray that you may have a good entrance in this congregation and also in the other churches belonging to our denomination. Thank you.
allow me to stand again in front of you to say a few personal words, both to the congregation of Dundas and also to the minister of Dundas and his wife and Tira. And you are the only one present of the family, of the children, Tira. Je bent de enige vanavond hier. Je verstaat nog geen Engels, dus ik zal het maar in het Hollands tegen je zeggen. Maar als ik het over jou heb, dan heb ik het ook over je twee broertjes en je zusje. We zijn allemaal blij dat jullie hier zijn en dat jullie als kinderen ook hier in ons midden een plaats mag hebben. We are all grateful to the Lord that the Lord has made it so that this night could be arranged, that this building could be rented, and that we may have this installation service. Congregation of Dundas, I may, as your counselor, heartily congratulate you with this event. And it is indeed from the bottom of my heart that I congratulate you with the coming of your minister and his wife and their children, and that he tonight was in the opportunity to preach for the first time, though shortly and briefly, a word from God. He has done it in the past as a guest minister, but now he has done it as your own minister. And you have had a foretaste of what he is going to preach. I hope it has whetted your appetite to faithfully come Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and wherever there is worship service and whenever the gospel is going to be proclaimed. And may God indeed attach his blessing to all the ministry of the gospel in the pulpit and in the catechism class and wherever. And may the Lord remember you as a congregation. You have been, and I may say that also, you have been always good and kind unto me. You have given me all the opportunity to preach the word of God as I see that it must be done, and I thank you for all the friendship and all the tokens of your appreciation I have received from you. What I especially pray and hope is that God may also bless the labors done in the past. Also upon you, young people. Weekly we met, and we have had good times together, and I hope that what was taught will stick to you and that it may be a blessing to your soul. I may also say this, and this may be even the most important thing, and that may also give courage to your minister. What I did experience from time to time in the ministry of the gospel in your midst, that will be unforgettable. Not in the first place because you were so patiently listening and attentively listening, but especially because of what God has done from time to time, confirming me in the work, giving me, as it were, an open heaven to preach under an open heaven, and to, with all my soul, press upon you the claims of the gospel and the work of grace that God is willing to do to a poor and lost sinner. And we have experienced from time to time that there was contact between pulpit and pew. May that also be remembered. Brother Bas, we are grateful that we may meet each other this side of the ocean. We knew each other already, and I was also aware of all the struggles you had in the past with the first call and how things went since. God has made all things well. God has cleared all things up. God has removed all obstacles, and here you are in the full confidence that the Lord will use you as an instrument in his hand for the furtherance of his kingdom. May you experience also in the language, but I must say there is not so much of a language barrier, and I think you all agree with me that he has quite a good command of the English language now already, and he speaks understandably, and as far as that's concerned, there will be no communication problem, I'm sure. But may the Lord help you also further, and may the Lord give you all what you need in all the work you do. And I hope that also for you, Mrs. Bass, because, well, we have gone through it 6 years ago, and we know a little bit of what it is to come to Canada from a Dutch-speaking country. And my wife knows, too, of course, what it entails to learn another language, to become familiar with all the problems in a new environment and all the rest. May the Lord remember you, too, and may He remember you and your children. Also in a certain loneliness, you are far away from your relatives, and you are far away from former friends. I'm sure there are people willing enough to give you help and assistance and to do all what they can do for you. That doesn't take away anything of what I have said. Your relatives are in the old country, and there are times that you will feel that, and that you will realize that, and that it will fill your heart with a certain sense of pain and loneliness because of the distance. May you then too, all of you as a family, experience the Lord is near, and He is a refuge at all times.
I want to say finally some words. First, I want to express my thankfulness to all those that are present here for showing their interest in this installation service. I want to express also my thankfulness for all deputates from the other consistories, and I am appreciating it very much that they are here. There are also some letters and telephone calls received, and I want to tell to you that there is received a telephone call from the consistory of Langley, B.C., expressing their congratulations and the Lord's blessing, and hoping that we may have a blessed evening together. And there is also a letter from the Free Reformed Church of Clifton. I will read this short letter. Dear brethren, at this time of God's special favor towards you, in providing you with a pastor and teacher, the congregation of Clifton hereby wants to express their joy and gratitude to God for His abundant goodness and mercy shown unto you. May the Lord, who having promised, saying, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, and now having realized this promise to you, grant that through the labors of His servant in your midst, the eyes of your understanding be it enlightened, ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1, verse 18 to 20. With brotherly greetings on behalf of the consistory and congregation, the Secretary Van Wyck. All these tokens of appreciation are very fine, and we thank for them. We would also like to thank the consistory of the Calvin Christian Reformed Church for allowing us to hold the installation service in this church building. I want to say now some words to speakers of this evening. I was touched by the well-meant words of welcome of the president of the consistory, Brother Schuett. My wife and I, and I think also our children, want to express our thankfulness and appreciation to the consistory and also to the whole congregation for the warm welcome, and especially We want to do this to those who have spent much time and care in preparing for our coming. It warmed our hearts and filled us with gratitude. I will like to thank Reverend Boss for his good words, which he spoke on behalf of the Synod. I expect to feel myself at home soon with my colleagues, which I have met already this evening, and I hope to work together with you all in the upbuilding of the kingdom of the Lord. God bless us as ministers and as a denomination. And finally, I will express my thankfulness and appreciation to Brother Reverend Dambeder that he was willing to install me. The words you have spoken have deeply touched me, and I would like to thank you for it. I would like to thank you and your wife for your friendship and assistance, especially during the last time. And also, I want to thank you for all the work you have done in the past time as a counselor in Dundas. A few words I want to speak in Dutch. Words to persons that are absent this day and this evening, to my former congregation and to my parents who are not here, but I hope will, within a few time, listen to a tape of this service. Over de oceaan wil ik mijn groet brengen aan mijn gemeente van Urk. Ik heb het al aangehaald, het afscheid was moeilijk. En toch, heel duidelijk, God heeft de weg hier naar Dundas en naar Canada niet onduidelijk gewezen. En dat mag ik ook zo in mijn eigen moedertaal vanavond wel zeggen. De moedertaal waarin ik toch heel wat meer vertrouwd ben als in het voor mij toch nog altijd moeilijke Engels. Dat de Heere mij over die beslissing dat ik tot u over mocht komen en ook moest komen, veel vrede in het hart heeft gegeven, wat mij tot eerbiedige verwondering vaak heeft mogen stemmen. Maar dat neemt niet weg dat afscheid soms moeilijk was. En dat ik soms wat zorg heb over mijn gemeente, die nu ver van ons verwijderd, vakant gebleven is. God geve de broeders van de kerkenraad, met wie ik meer dan 7 jaar in alle liefde en vrede heb mogen samenleven, wijsheid en licht om de kudde te wijden en God vervullen de lege plaats die gekomen is, heel spoedig met een dienaar waar deze grote gemeente, meer dan 2 maal zo groot als Dundas, bijna 1000 zielen, zoveel behoefte aan heeft. Ik wil ook een woord van groet, erkentelijkheid ook aan mijn familie overbrengen. Heel bijzonder aan onze ouders, voor wie deze weg van ons naar Canada niet gemakkelijk is. We zijn dankbaar dat mijn vader en moeder alles in Gods hand hebben mogen geven. En God sterke hen, nu hun kinderen ver van hun weg zijn, en ook al hun kleinkinderen hier in Canada wonen. God geef hun genade, ook bij het ouder worden, opdat ze van hem mogen verwachten. En God geef hun en ons veel gebogen knieën. Want in het gebed, daar alleen kunnen de verste afstanden wegsmelten. Wanneer we elkaar ontmoeten mogen aan de troon van Gods genade. Gemeente van Dundas, ook tot u nog een paar woorden in mijn eigen taal. Ik hoop spoedig zoveel Engels te kennen dat ik wat minder moeite heb om u in het Engels toe te spreken. Ik ben dankbaar dat ik in uw midden mag zijn. Dankbaar voor de ontvangst. Dankbaar voor vele brieven die ik in de tijd van het beroep heb mogen ontvangen. Zoveel dat ik onmogelijk persoonlijk kon antwoorden op de vele goede woorden die daarin gesproken en geschreven zijn. Wees ervan overtuigd dat het ons goed gedaan heeft en dat ik gevoeld heb, ook die maanden geleden, dat hier een biddende gemeente was. En het is een wonder als de Heere ons zondige, diepschuldige mensen wil aanhoren en bovendien nog wil verhoren. God zegene ons samen in de tijd die Hij ons geeft. Ik wil eindigen. And I want to finish with the words of that old prayer. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen.